And we take a break from this beautiful Hawaiian music this morning for our, I believe, eighth weekly visit with Greg Ruberg, the CEO of the Lakeview Hospital and Clinic System. Good morning, Greg. This is Leo filling in for Katya. I appreciate very much you taking time out of your busy day to give us an update and answer a few questions.
Sounds good. Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been kind of a momentous week again, as it always seems to be in this business of dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. The governor has expanded business openings across the state, so we'll have folks together in workplaces 8 or more hours at a time, more than we have had for many weeks. So people will be shopping in more open stores and shops, and we'll inevitably be probably pushing the envelope of that 6-foot physical and social distancing guideline, and we may have mixed compliance with recommendations to wear masks in public. All of these are variables, but how do you and your colleagues in the St. Luke system, how are you viewing our situation this week going forward and what we're likely to see?
Well, as we've just talked over the past couple of months, we've done a lot of work on public education to our patients, sharing as much information as we have. And as you note, things continue to change hourly, daily, and weekly. So, again, this is just one more significant change that happened this week. As we've resumed services at Lakeview, you know, we originally started with essential medical services only. So we focused a lot of our attention on telehealth and remote type of work. And then we started to slowly bring back services that were appropriate and that were required by our patients. And now, as you note, effective next week, that those restrictions to stay home are expiring. And so we're going to see a new process across the state. And again, what we're hoping for, we're very optimistic and hopeful that people have learned social distancing, that they continue to wash their hands, and again, really, I think, rely on their good judgment and good decisions about what's appropriate and what's not appropriate and how they can protect their friends and neighbors.
So, Greg, I guess I'm looking for a forecast from you. I hear that you have a very optimistic forecast that we've done a lot of our homework in getting people ready to exist with, so to speak, more freedom to move about, and that you don't necessarily anticipate any change in the likelihood of active COVID spread, say, in our region where we've, you know, only had the one confirmed case. During this stay safe plan, you're not expecting any particular uptick in the near future. We just know that there will be eventually more cases that will, be evidencing across the state in areas that have been less affected. It's just biology.
Right. No, I expect that we're going to see an uptick in cases and probably a lot faster, certainly a lot faster than we've seen over the last month or 6 weeks. As people move around more, I think that the risk just continues to increase. So the stay-at-home order, what it allowed hospitals to do was really spend a solid month or more preparing for any kind of future surge or what I call waves of COVID-19. So, you know, back in March, we thought that there was a surge coming at the end of the month, and hospitals across the state and around the country were just unprepared for that level of patient influx overnight or very quickly. So we've been able to really staff up, put surge plans in place, purchase equipment, put policies and procedures and transfer protocols in place. I do think we have a significant increase of COVID that will impact our county. We've been very fortunate, though, because I think we are spread out. We're much different than a New York City or even the Twin Cities. The challenge we have is we have more and more people coming into our area from other areas where there has been more COVID. The more tourists we see coming in, the more people we see start to travel, more people that go into gas stations and grocery stores. It's just, again, as you know, it's a matter of probability. It's going to get here. It's going to be a challenge for healthcare, no question, as we go forward. So I think both our local hospital here is prepared. Our regional hospitals, both St. Luke's and Ascension, have prepared as well. But there are going to be challenges and stressful days ahead. There's no question.
Yeah, and I'd just like to reiterate to folks who are, you know, thinking that we have largely escaped a really difficult, dire scenario that Health Commissioner Malcolm reminded us a few times in the last few weeks that in our rural areas, because of our lower capacity to handle patients with both the number of ICU beds, the number of ventilators available, that it doesn't take as dramatic an impact to maybe push the limits of our capacity. And are you pretty confident that we've got that capacity in our greater region? I mean, I assume that most of our patients that would need ICU level attention would be going to Duluth, for instance. Do we have very much room to take on a large influx of patients that are, you know, in serious medical condition?
So the arrangement that we have set up right now, I think, is a very good one for Lake County, at least in this initial phase and before we have these waves. So right now, Lakeview, again, is a part of the St. Luke's family. We've had a lot of discussions both at Lakeview and at St. Luke's and really in collaboration about how do we work together to support the region. So I've shared this in different media interviews in the past, is right now if we have a patient that comes into our organization, whether it's the clinic or the ER, and needs and is positive for COVID or suspected positive and needs hospitalization, we have an agreement where we transfer that patient right down to St. Luke's where they have ICUs and ventilators and respiratory therapy and all of that. And there's really two reasons. They're better equipped and prepared to care for a patient like that, and so that makes perfect sense. They've got capacity right now, and that's the key word is right now. And it also keeps Lakeview, I would say, maybe, quote, COVID-free, or it keeps someone with a COVID infection out of our building. That protects all of the other patients that are coming in for outpatient services. It protects staff. The challenge with that model, and again, it works great right now, and it's the right way to do it. The challenge with that model is when we start to see more and more COVID in the region because people are out and about, just as you mentioned, doing more, and there's just more risk and there's more chance of transmission. When those ICU beds and ventilator beds fill up at, say, St. Luke's and Ascensia, that option for us is no longer there. So then we, as a hospital, we will care for COVID patients, and we're well prepared for that. We've got the appropriate PPE. Our staff are trained. We've got incident command. But we can't provide that level of care. So to your point is, if we get to a point that all of the regional hospitals are full and we can't transfer COVID patients out for that higher level of care, that's when the real risk hits rural healthcare, because we're going to be caring for people without the optimal resources. And that's the message we keep trying to share with people, is that if you surge above that line or that curve exceeds what we can provide on a regional level, then patients and families are at risk. So the goal, again, is to slow that transmission so we can treat COVID within the kind of the infrastructure that we've built across the region, and then, you know, treat, address it, and then we have, openings or capacity to treat additional people.
And I suppose everything you just said points to how important it is every time we tweak our government recommendations and mandates as in terms of what should be open and how people are expected to go about their business, that the models probably are not going to be able to respond and give us an exact picture of what that's going to mean in 2, 4, 6, 8 weeks out from those changes such as the governor is enacting this coming week.
Right. That's one of the most frequent questions I get, is so people are frustrated and confused and maybe concerned about all the models that are out there, and we've talked about models in previous interviews, but the challenge is when you predict a surge in March and it doesn't happen, then you predict a surge in July, and then the surge is predicted to be end of July, August, and now there's some talk about September, October. I think it's important to try to predict and try to model and try to understand when this surge is going to come. I think it creates a false sense of security where people think, well, it didn't happen in March, it didn't happen in April, it hasn't happened yet in May, so it probably won't happen in October either. And again, I think that's where you balance that stay at home and all of these really recommendations to slow down the spread of COVID with the reality that it's going to come. We know that we're going to have more than one case. I mean, we were one of four states at the time.
Counties,
didn't have COVID. When I last looked, there were two, and they were Cook County was one, and one was up, you know, Lake of the Woods County. So
right.
They will get COVID cases in their county, and we will have more.
Indeed. And maybe I could drill down to I know you're a health care administrator and not an infectious disease doctor, but what would you say to any small employer under this, you know, opening up of opportunities to do business? What can they be reasonably expected to do to limit the likelihood of COVID spread, both among her employees or between employees and the additional members of the public that now are going to be patronizing the business? Are things like good hygiene, disinfecting of all the surfaces, distancing, and masks our basic toolkit? Or are there any other things that you could speak to that would help to make those environments safer, such as, for instance, testing people's temperature on a daily basis, other things that I'm not thinking of?
Sure. One of the things at Lakeview, and I think, again, we continue to learn about COVID, and that's part of the challenge with all of this, is I think we continue to learn, but then new information comes out, and then contradictory information comes out, and we're always sorting through that. But, you know, I can speak to Lakeview first, then maybe as a model, and this can be kind of extended out to private businesses. We require every individual that comes into our building to wear a cloth face covering, and again, that's to protect people around them. So that's when they come in, they have the cloth face covering. If they don't have one, we give them one, or we give them a surgical mask if they're a patient and need to be seen. All of our employees are taking their temperature before presenting to work and recording that. We have a station set up. We have screening tools or questions that every employee has to go through before they work, and we're regulating as healthcare professionals. And then we're also screening temps of patients and other visitors who are limited, but again, one other tool. So if I were a small business, I would do the exact same thing. I would ensure that myself and my staff are wearing cloth face coverings to protect each other. I would ask my staff to take their temperature before coming to work. Again, it's just a screening tool. It's not perfect, but it's one more tool. Again, looking at those questions every day, do I have any of these symptoms? If I do, don't go to work. But I think also more importantly is really enforce that social distancing in your business. Don't let a family of five come in together and be next to other people when there's, you know, you really look at the number of people in your business and making sure they're spread out. So maybe letting people come in and monitoring the door that way, again, thing or giving them that cloth face covering. I think the other important thing is, too, is the hand hygiene. There's two components that I've done, and I do this everywhere I go. And, again, I limit where I go. I go to work, and I go pick up food at the grocery store, but I don't go out and shop for fun and that kind of thing at this point. But washing your hands frequently whenever you touch something, and then just not touching your face. If you can really get out of the habit of touching your eyes, nose, or mouth, both when you're out in public and at home, you can really reduce the chance of getting COVID and many other viruses and bacteria as well.
It's a great practical overview, Greg. I guess we, to end today, if we could, we always have a weekly question about testing. So, you know, we've conducted now a significantly ramped up number of tests in the COVID 19 tests, 34,000 plus it looked like when I was calculating on my napkin last night in just the last week, and only 129,000 in 6 weeks. So the rate is really upticked. But is there some kind of magic number? I know the governor talked about a moonshot goal of being able to do 20,000 tests a day. Is getting there going to be pivotal to continuing to extend and flatten the curve? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's a couple comments I'll make on testing, and this is a question, again, that we've talked about every week in various media sources. So Lake County, you know, we struggled to get testing supplies, you know, even as early as 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we weren't listed the first day on that state testing website or that location site because the testing supplies weren't there. So we were able to source additional testing supplies. We've got well over 100 testing supply kits in-house. We're well stocked in those. We've been testing an increasing number of people each week, but nothing significant. And I think there's really two reasons around that. Is number one, for the first 4 to 6 weeks of COVID, or maybe even, well, probably 6 weeks, we told people that testing isn't necessary or required. So if you're sick, stay home, you'll get better. Unless you have significant medical symptoms, of course, you'd come to the ER and then you'd be tested. So we MDH and hospitals and others, that was the advice because we didn't have the capacity to test in the numbers that we wanted to. MDH has done a ton of work with the governor and others to really ramp up that testing numbers, and the governor, like you said, has that goal. In Lake County, I think the messaging has been one challenge to get people, when they're symptomatic, to be tested. And number two, I think some luck involved, is we've been fortunate that we just haven't had a lot of sick people in Lake County that have thought about, well, I'm symptomatic, I should go get tested. I think some probably have been sick and stayed home and gotten better. But again, there just aren't enough sick people. If we had enough sick people, by probability, again, we'd have more people that we're testing. And we continue to test. The one other comment I would make on this is we are super excited this week as we were able to secure what we call an Abbott analyzer. And we worked very closely with the Minnesota Department of Health for weeks and weeks and aggressively trying to get an in-house testing analyzer at Lakeview. Our argument was we are the only hospital in Lake County. We support the Monarch facility, skilled nursing in Two Harbors. We support the Veterans Administration home in Silver Bay. We should have in-house testing because we can't rely on a 2 or 3 day turnaround for test results for an county. We did receive word on Wednesday that we will be getting an analyzer for in-house. And again, we'll be able to test more people with quicker turnaround. And again, I think that will help this overall strategy across Minnesota to test and then isolate and then trace people and, again, address COVID. More details will come next week on that.
Okay, so not clear exactly when you'll have that Abbott analyzer, but it is, so to speak, in the pipeline?
Correct. There's no delivery date that I know of as of this morning, but again, we received word late Wednesday that there is one available, and we're on the list, and we will get it. That is significant news for Lake County. We just have not been able to turn those tests around quick. And so now, I mean, you can turn these around in-house within the hour. And so I think when we're talking about surgery and procedures and other type of procedures, we can test appropriately and ensure that the patients are safe and our staff are safe. So that was really the milestone this week. And again, a lot more to come. But MDH has really helped us on that, and we've been pushing hard on it.
Well, thank you, Greg. If there's any other insight you'd want to leave the folks with today, otherwise I truly appreciate your time in these weekly visits.
I would just encourage people to please be careful, please social distance, please do all of the things that we've talked about, and really be a leader in Lake County to help reduce the spread of COVID.
Thank you very much, Greg, for joining us, and I will probably be connecting with you or one of your colleagues next week. Thanks a lot for this weekly check-in on KTWH about COVID-19 response.
Thank you.
Take care. Greg Ruberg from Lakeview Clinic and Hospitals in Two Harbors.